Welcome to the Sable Singularity, a space where storytelling, technology, games, and systems collide on purpose. This is where I build out loud, learn in public, and document the messy, magical process of becoming. If you're a creative, a builder, a gamer, or just a curious mind, pull up a chair or a rocket ship. Let's surf the singularity together. Hey y'all, this is Kobe R. Rice, storyteller, game designer, full stack engineer, okay, and tech founder, and welcome to log one of the Sable Singularity podcast. So I aired just yesterday our trailer episode, our This Is What We're About episode, and today is going to be our fully fleshed out first episode of the week, and I'm super excited. I brought my emotional support plushie, okay? I brought my Slytherin wearable blanket hoodie, and I have my coffee, okay? So I am ready, okay? Your girl is ready to go. And today I wanted to talk to you guys about when manifestation and magic meet the machine. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, what the heck does this even mean? What is this woo-woo foolishness? I am here for some tech how-tos and some storytelling hacks, right? And we're going to get into all of that. But I really wanted to talk to you guys about how the bridge between yourself and the dreams of being either an artist or an engineer is not that long of a bridge. It is not that big of a gap. Bottom line is that we're all engineers, okay? I don't care if you're a writer, a teacher, a novelist, that's the same as a writer, but a painter, work at McDonald's, a retail worker, a janitor, a scuba diver. I don't care what you are. Inherently, we are all engineers. I've always been an engineer, and so have you. But hear me out, because I know a lot of you are sitting there being like, girl, like, stop, you're doing too much. So in my opinion, right, for those of you who are religious, God or the gods were the first engineers in our understanding on the planet, right? For those of you who are not spiritual or religious, which is totally cool, this is not a religious podcast, nature is the first engineer, okay? And for those of you who don't give a damn about either one of those things, you are the original engineer. So hold my coffee for a second. Actually, I'll hold on to it and let me explain. So first and foremost, let's define what an engineer actually is. Okay, let me actually just pull up right here. And this is where I'm going to read stuff right off of my notes here. The definition of an engineer is, according to dictionary.com, a person trained and skilled in the design, construction, and use of engines or machines, or in any of various branches of engineering. Again, I'm going to actually highlight the most important part. A person, that's me and you, trained and skilled in the design, construction, and use of engines or machines. All right, we're going to let that sit. Design, construction, and use. We do this every single day. All right. But some of you are like, we do design, we do construct, right? And we do use things, but it doesn't mean that I'm building actual machines, right? Lies again. Okay. First of all, again, we're going to go back to dictionary.com and define what a machine actually is. So if you're saying I don't build a machine or I never build machines, hold that thought. So definition of machine is an apparatus consisting of interrelated parts with separate functions used in the performance of some kind of work. Apparatus, interrelated parts that engage in separate functions and that are used in the performance of some kind of work, right? So just think of like yourself and your body as it is. It's an apparatus. It's a tool, right? It's a lot more than a tool, okay? But that's one of the things that it is. It's a tool. It has a variety of different interrelated parts, different systems, the cardiovascular system, the skeletal system, the nervous system, obviously, right? A whole bunch of different systems that are all working together with their own separate functions. Each one does something completely different. and they're all engaging in some kind of work. So even you just sitting here listening to this podcast, you are engineering. Even if you don't want to, even if you're not thinking about it, your body is working all the time to make sure your apparatus, meaning like you, yourself, your body, is actually working and functioning appropriately. Okay? So by existence alone, we as human beings are engineers. This is doubly or triply true for women in particular. No shade to my men, no shade to, you know, my non-binary folks, okay? We love all of you. But for women of childbearing, child-rearing age, if you actually do have a bun in the oven, right, your body is working overtime. It's not only engineering its own existence, but it's literally, literally building an actual functioning human being inside of you. Okay, so shout out to my ladies, all right, in particular for being literally the Uber engineers of the planet and of the universe, all right? We, all of us collectively, were born to some degree with a set of blueprints and code, right, that we call DNA, that we call genetics. And based on that blueprint, we get different kinds of abilities, different kinds of outcomes. And the beautiful part about this blueprint is that it's not fixed, right? It's actually dynamic, it evolves, it grows, especially if you're able to actively pursue new skills, new understanding, and you're pursuing an evolution intellectually, spiritually, morally, physically. You can use the original blueprint and code that you have to literally iterate on your own existence and grow your code base. I know this sounds like a little bit like she's reaching, right? Like trying to connect the human existence to programming, but I really do see it this way. Okay, so let's say you heard all of that. You heard my explanation about blueprints, about coding, about our DNA, about how our bodies are engineers just naturally, and you're still not bought in. Okay, so let's say you don't think any of that is true. When you get up and you go to work or school or whatever it is you do every single morning, do you not use any interrelated parts to do any different kinds of functions to complete any type of work? I'll wait. Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Okay. So even though you might not want to admit it, my artist girlies, you are an engineer. Okay. And I don't even want to say by contrast, by comparison, my engineering girlies, folksies, ballers, whatever you want to call yourselves, you're also inherently artists. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the podcast episode. I think generally what our issue is that kind of blocks us from seeing our own engineering power is that a lot of programs, apparatuses, machines, things of that nature, you need certain inputs in order to get certain results, certain outputs, right? And I think the problem that most of us face on a day-to-day basis is that we get a lot of inputs that we really hate or that are not really aligned with our inner programming or our inner structures, right? Like, who is amped to, you know, let's say you're working in an office job, right? I have never met a single person who is just amped to print out a bunch of files and deliver it to the accounting department on time. Like, I mean, no shade if that is your steez and your thing. Like, no shade to you at all. But most of us who have other things that we're passionate about, that's not what we get up thinking about in the morning, right? So when we have to go to work, we have to get those bills paid, and we have to take certain inputs and create certain outputs, we don't necessarily feel as though we're generating any progress or any results that we are proud about, that we're actually invested in, okay? Yet and still, we're still using our own machinery, whether intellectually, physically, spiritually, to produce work, right? And so the closer we get to getting inputs that really set us aflame and like just get us really excited, like the more we feel as though we can be true engineers, and not just engineers of, you know, great work, but engineers of our own destiny. Oh, there's the woo-woo part, okay? There's the woo-woo part. But I hope you guys understand sort of where I'm going with this, that we are all inherently creators. We're all inherently engineers. We just need to switch up the types of input that we are more naturally, or maybe I'll even say more divinely inclined to care about. All right. And this actually is where my personal journey comes in, because, and we won't spend too much time on the personal journey. That's a whole different episode or what have you. But I have been a writer of sci-fi and fantasy for the past 30 years. Okay. I'm dating myself, and it's okay because your girl is looking very delicious at my big age. But I've been a writer for literally over 3 decades at this point. And I knew at 10 years old that writing was the thing that I was meant to do. Storytelling was the thing I was meant to do. It is all I could think about. It was all that I lived and breathed at that age and beyond. Like, I just, and I always had like an endless cache of ideas to pull from, right? So that was, from my personal perspective, my natural magic, my embedded code, right? Because I think that we're all given a vision, we're all given a gift. And when the world stops long enough for us to hear that voice inside, we can actually understand and feel what it is we truly want to do. But it's really hard to get the world around you to go silent and quiet for your own personal reflection. But for me, I always knew that I was a storyteller and world builder. And I'm going to tell you this straight up. Storytelling, building worlds, character design, plot, wordsmithery, storycraft, these are all engineering praxies. Okay, they are. And I don't care what the civic or civil engineers have to say. I mean, I do care what you have to say, but just not on this particular topic. Right? I don't care what like programmers have to say about that. I don't care about, you know, nuclear physicists, engineers. I don't care. Like, it's not to say that those perspectives are invalid. It's just that it's an engineering perspective in a specific vein, right? But when you're in the world of storytelling, you absolutely are an engineer. Going back to the original definition, right, of using the different interrelated parts with different functions together to perform or produce a sort of work, right? So a lot of you are saying probably right now, girl, that's a reach. Like, you're reaching. Well, listen, respectfully, get your ass up and stretch out them dusty ass limbs of yours, because, bitch, we are about to reach, okay? Reach like, you know, Gumby out here, all right? When you're putting together a story, whether it's a short story, but more specifically a novel or novel series, there are literally hundreds of elements that you have to create / program in order to basically create a single body of work. All right. Again, harking back to that definition of machinery and engineering. The elements that you build for a story are extremely modular, but they're also very interrelated. Okay. This is why writing a novel before, and actually now even during the advent of AI, but especially before, is such a difficult feat, and is why a lot of people who want to write novels have not written novels, because it is so insanely difficult. It is engineering on a very, artistic level, right? Because you're basically juggling, programming, debugging, editing, and modularizing multiple functions at once, right? You're creating your characters down to a T. And then you're asking your characters within a certain context, which you have to build, by the way, okay, to take certain actions that fall within the functions you have programmed into these characters, okay? And you have to have these characters not only work on their own, but they have to work in tandem with all the other elements in the system that you're creating. That's literally software engineering, but more so storytelling engineering, okay? And by the way, as a side note, we're going to have another episode in the future about this in particular, but writing characters is, in my opinion, just like writing functions. So for those of you who don't really know what it means to write a function, we'll talk more about that, of course, not just on this podcast, but on my YouTube channel. But they are a lot like writing functions. Designing dystopian factions, like let's say you're a dystopia writer like me, it's basically like coding classes in a program, okay? And creating dictionaries, like, bruh, we've been there and we've done that already, because it's actually just like the core steps, or one of the core steps, rather, that I would take when designing a fictional language for a fantasy series. Now, of course, the dictionary, quote unquote, is not the only aspect of a language that you have to create when you're putting a language together, but it is a huge part of it, right? And as I said, we'll go much more into detail about all of this, but if you're seeing a trend here, if you're engaging in some real pattern recognition, you'll see a well-hidden truth. And the fact that it's well-hidden is not by accident, okay? But the truth at the core of all of this is that because humans have been engineers since the dawn of time, we have always been manifesting that engineering prowess through different ways. But one of the first ways that we have engineered ourselves, our lives, and everything around us is through story. And I don't care what anybody says. I know I'm kind of like qualifying and defending a lot, but you know, some people want to really play with your girl. But human beings have always engineered, but one of the first modes of engineering has been through story and storytelling. It's always been the first language of engineers, and everything else has followed story, not preceded it. Back when the cavemen, okay, didn't have language per se, or they had like certain parts of language, but they still had to work together as a society to, like, you know, make things work, to hunt, to gather, to build things. And when they had to communicate things to others, they would have to do it through story. And there's different ways of telling story, obviously. There's language, there's body language, there's pictograms and, you know, like symbolism. I was going to say semiotics, but I don't want to get... I was going to say semiotics, signs and symbols, but I don't want to get too PhD on y'all, okay? But there are many ways in which we have told story, even before the advent of computers, before the advent of modern technology, before all of that, we have been engineering through story. And I want you to argue with me in the comment section if you disagree, okay? So run and tell that. But again, we'll be talking more about this just at the Sable Singularity altogether. But I want you to really consider that. If you're sitting here thinking about whether or not you're able to make a career switch or a career enhancement, right? Because I myself, I'm not going to stop being a storyteller, but I'm going to expand. I have been expanding my world to include engineering, programming, AI, etc. I don't want you to think, oh, well, I'm an artist, I can't do that. As a side note, I just came off of a podcast, not a podcast, but a YouTube channel with this amazing, you know, just incredible artist who also was a civil engineer. And I thought it was so cool. I felt like I found my sister online. And yes, she was also melanated, okay? Very much giving mahogany, very much giving Black girl magic on top of that. And so I'm going to engage a little bit more on her channel because she was just so inspiring to me. She wasn't talking about anything that I'm talking about per se, but to me, she was literally the embodiment of what I'm trying to get across to you guys, which is that art and engineering, or art and science, can live together and always have lived together. So if you're on either side of that fake divide, break down those walls and cross over, and feel free to do it here at the Sable Singularity. So I'm over here talking a lot about walls, breaking down false dichotomies, and I know some of y'all are like, girl, where are you getting your confidence? You know, show us the proof in the pudding. Well, here's the pudding, okay, with chocolate chips and all type of delicious stuff in it. So as I mentioned to you before, I have been a writer for the past three decades. Okay. My first story was about four magical girls and a magical mailbox. They were orphans, okay, under the evil, you know, domineering Mrs. Robespierre. Side note, I was studying Robespierre at that time in middle school. And so I thought that he was evil as hell. And I was like, who do I want to, you know, embody that kind of evil, but on like a juvenile Mrs. Trunchbull level? And the orphanage owner became Mrs. Robespierre, okay? And the magical mailbox, because the girls just wanted to escape their reality, they found a magical mailbox, they would write a letter to anywhere, right? Whether it was, you know, the future, whether it was France, whether it was Atlantis, or whether it was 16th century Japan, all right? And they would put the letter in the mailbox, and the mailbox would open up as a portal, and they would all go into the mailbox and teleport to that time and be dropped right in the middle of an amazing adventure with kids their age in that time period, right? So that's an idea that's still kind of like live on the slate, because I think it's a cute idea. Obviously, I'm going to develop it. That's a side note though. And yes, there were ninjas. Don't judge me. I was 10. I was still learning about like culture and cultural appropriation. So like, just give me some grace. But it was very multicultural, very diverse. And from that point on, like, that is how I started to expand my horizons and my perspective through story, right? So I started off writing prose, and then I would ask myself, what would this story look like as a full book? Boom, I'm a novelist now, okay? What about for the stage? Boom, I'm a director and a dramaturg now, okay? What about in a game, like a 2D game or a 3D game? Boom, I'm a game writer, game designer, and world builder, right? So not only has story been something that I've always loved, but it's always been my portal into new things and new horizons. But what finally brought me into full stack engineering is that I wanted to start creating like tools and a platform for writers to be able to, of course, write and, you know, publish and champion their own stories. And I wanted to use this platform of mine to teach writers how to do that. And when I realized what it would take to create this kind of app or platform, I realized that, yes, I'm still being an engineer, a storytelling engineer, but now I have to upskill and I have to get more tools in my toolbox in order to do that. And that's how I came to the very natural feeling conclusion that I needed to be a full stack engineer and an AI engineer. And I started that journey in August of 2025, designed my first app, shipped it. It's very rote. It's very like not where I want it to be, but it's functional and it works if you work it. Okay. I might include it in the description below. I'm still trying to figure out if I want to do that. But you can also go to my GitHub, which is in my description below, and check it out yourself. But I realized that this is great. This is a great start, but I need more formal introductions and more formal practice in gaining these skills. And this is where I give all engineers the respect that they deserve, right? Because even though I believe that all humans are naturally engineers, it doesn't mean that you don't have to pursue a certain skill set and a set of tools and a knowledge base in order to become a certain type of specific engineer, right? So we all have that core engineering spirit, but in order to really manifest engineering in the industry, in the field that we're trying to go into, whether it's computer engineering, civil engineering, nuclear engineering, etc., we do have to pursue some course of study and practice, right? Right. Okay. So it's not as easy as saying we're all engineers, so I can start designing and putting up buildings tomorrow. You can start designing and putting up buildings, but you still need to gain those skills. You still need to practice, because we want to make sure that the building is not going to collapse on people, etc. Right? Just like as an example, I think that we're all inherently storytellers. But me as a sci-fi writer, if I wanted to suddenly start doing technical writing, there is a slight learning curve, and that's okay. It doesn't mean I can't do it. I just need to get the skills to do it. All right. So knowing this, that I am transitioning or expanding from storytelling to full stack engineering, that means I need to upskill in real time. And that's what brings us here. That's what brings me here, rather, to you guys today, right now. And that's why I started this podcast. That's why I started this journey, because I am currently upskilling across any and all realms for full stack engineering. And I want to share that journey with all of you guys. So just to wrap up my entire point and not to ramble on for too long, because I do have certain technical things I want to get into you guys and get into with you guys. Well, I do want to get technical things into you guys, but I also want to get into technical things with you guys. Okay. Okay. Language, words, we're making it work. I just want to share a super quick story time with you, just proving, at least to myself, that manifestation, magic, and the machine are all working together, because they are all inside of us. They all are us. Quick story time. All right. So I mentioned to you guys that I started my tech found up and I published my first app, the first two versions of my app in 2025, right? As a part of getting ready for 2026, I was looking through my phone and just clearing out any baggage, any leftover notes, any leftover whatever, right, from 2025. And I came across one particular note that was written December 21st, 2017, literally 8 years ago. All right. And I'm going to read that note to you. All right. So the note reads, Saga Scribe, a writing software for sci-fi and fantasy writers to help them develop their entire series with everything necessary at their fingertips. My mind was blown because, y'all, this was written by me exactly 8 years ago. And I got shook, because where I was 8 years ago was that I was 1.5 years into my MFA in theater arts, focusing on dramaturgy, where I was a dramaturg, I was a director, very much in the storytelling realm, but just in a different medium, right? Coding, programming, and software engineering, even though I always thought it was super cool, it was literally the farthest thing from my mind at the time, okay? But at that time, I guess I had just written down this note in passing, or I just had like a flicker or something, because I opened up my phone on December 21st, 2017, that was on break, by the way, it was on my winter break, and I jotted down this idea for this writing software. And when I established my tech company in 2025 and started building this writing software, I had no idea. I had completely forgotten that I had written this note 8 years ago. And it literally blew my mind and had me so shook, me looking at this note on my phone. Because right now in 2026, the note in my phone is the exact goal, as the exact premise, right, upon which I founded God Tier Storytelling, which is the name of my tech startup. And to me, that just personally proves to me, right, that this dream that I'm manifesting, that combines storytelling and engineering, has always been mine. Always. Okay. It's always been mine. It's always been a part of my DNA, a part of my code, so to speak. Right. The idea has already, or was already, seeded. The magic was already coded. Right. Both were kind of being nourished in, how do we say, like, I guess the soil of story, right? I'm being really poetic now, but you get what I mean. And that seed stayed buried in my, I guess, divine soil, or like ethereal soil, right? For years. But now that we have technological opportunity and advancement, it's like the tech opportunity and advancement is shining a light on that soil, that, and it's finally allowing the seed to sprout, right? And so I think that all of us have those kinds of seeds in us. All of us have those voices, that kind of code, that magic. The power to manifest those things inside of our own human machinery. We just need that light of opportunity to power us, to cause us to grow, to cause us to sprout. And P.S., by the way, something that was also kind of freaky for me, girl, like the title of that note or the title of the software that I had written out at that time, it was called Saga Scribe. And scarily enough, it is nearly eponymous with the same software app that I'm developing for God Tier Storytelling. And again, that was completely by serendipity, right? Or maybe at the end of the day, because it's been buried inside of me, it kind of just whispered its way into existence, right? So that's something that kind of really freaked me out in a good way and just kind of showed me that even without planning this, at least not actively planning this, like we've always, or at least I have always been an engineer. I've always had the code. I've always had the magic to manifest. And I believe so firmly in my heart and in my mind that you have that same magic inside of you too. All right. So I know that you guys are kind of probably sick of the woo-woo at this point, but I just kind of wanted to introduce you to my philosophy about creation, storytelling, engineering, because that's sort of the underlying foundation upon which I build pretty much everything. And I hope that something in that message, whether you're an engineer, mathematician, left-brained, you know, amazing person, or you're a right-brained, organic, dynamic artist, artsy-fartsy person, I hope that you see yourself reflected across that boundary line. And I hope that you blur those boundaries, you cross those boundaries, and you become literally the ultimate storytelling engineer coming together like Voltron, because that's what I'm trying to do right now. All right, so let's pivot because I want to talk about my goals for 2026, something that's much more concrete. Okay, so these are my goals, or AKA how I plan to be a Boolean baddie. Okay, that's what we're calling it, being a Boolean baddie. Trademark, by the way, that's actually like a great t-shirt or something to produce. Potential merch line coming soon. All right, let's move forward. So these are my three main goals for 2026. Number one, game designer tee. Designing, programming, and shipping the MVP for my first Roblox game, which is currently titled Coral Coast, a Mermaid Magical Girl Adventure. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say right now. I'm super excited about it. Got the design docs and the tech docs ready. Got my sprints planned out. I did all of that groundwork in 2025. So literally as of tomorrow evening, the development and the coding is going to launch. So I'm super excited. Number two, we'll call this the tech founder tea. Tech founder goal is that I wanna design, program, and ship versions 3 through 7 of my first writing app, the God Tier Storytelling Writing Studio, right? And under the Writing Studio umbrella, we have 6 levels or versions of the writing app that I'm trying to develop and get basically out of the shop and onto the shelves, so to speak. So that's my goal. And then my third major goal is to step fully. And when I say fully, I mean like practically actually doing the thing, stepping fully into my full stack engineer identity by achieving 3 milestones. Number one, finishing my certificate in scripted and compiled programming languages, which I'm taking through my job because my job is great. Their benefits are amazing at the University of Phoenix. And just to kind of give you a preview, that's the first of 3 certificates I will be taking in the world of programming, IT, and engineering. But this year, we're focusing on that one certificate. The second, and this is something that I actually recommend for all of you who are interested in getting into development or engineering, I'll be completing my full stack developer certification at freecodecamp.org. So a lot of you who are interested in crossing over or evolving into being a developer might have heard about people joining certain boot camps so that you learn how to code and then you can just practice, produce a portfolio, etc. One that I would highly recommend is one that I'm taking now, which is that full stack developer certification at freecodecamp.org. I'm going to put that in my description below this video or podcast if you're listening. And I highly suggest you go there, create an account, and just start your learning. It's an amazing resource, and it's completely free, which I think is incredible. But the third milestone to help me step into my full stack engineering identity is that I'm going to be practicing consistently and building a super badass programming portfolio on GitHub and on my programmer website as I go through my certificate and through the full stack developer certification. All right. And the best way for me to really make sure that I'm achieving this final goal of stepping into my engineer identity is that we'll be touching code every single day, touching story every single day, and we'll also be doing it formally through a structured program, which requires participation, assignments, and things of that nature. I like having those as guideposts and as a roadmap. It just makes things more structured and gives me a little bit more accountability, and I'm excited to take you guys along with that journey. I'm going to be learning a lot. So I'll talk to you more about the tech stack that I already have and the tech stack that I'll be building over the next year in the next episode. But those are my three main goals. Oh, hello. I forgot a fourth goal. Duh. My fourth goal is to write and publish more novels. I'm trying to aim for minimum 2 this year, maximum 4. All right. Yes, I know that's a huge, huge reach goal, but I want to make sure that I'm still engaging with my storytelling this year. And I really want to focus systematically on getting the next 2 books in my dystopian urban fantasy series, The Books of Ezekiel, out this year. Finally, my fans have been waiting for that for a long time. That's my flagship series that I've, you know, been working on for ages. And then the first 2 books, if possible, or minimum the first book of the Sodom series, which is a dystopian sci-fi thriller. And I have a lot to say in that particular series. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that because I'm super excited. But that's my fourth goal that's on my list for this year. So now, dun, 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 it's time for the last segment of this podcast, a segment that I call Scrum Solo. All right. So a lot of you are saying, girl, like, what are you talking about? Like, is this like some kind of Star Wars spinoff, you know, scrimmage thing? What is Scrum Solo? So first of all, let's parse it down. Scrum is an actual framework that is used in software design and engineering, right? Essentially, it is a weekly checkpoint with yourself or your team, and you do a few things in your Scrum meetings with your team, or in this case, with myself, which is why it's called Scrum Solo. So number one, you actually review what you actually did for that week or that sprint, which is usually a 2-week development period. You'll notice and observe and kind of jot down what worked and what didn't work during that sprint time. And then you're going to plan your next survivable small steps in your process, right? The system itself was designed to reduce overwhelm. Obviously, it replaces, you know, guilt and, oh my God, I didn't get to it this week. It replaces that with feedback, and it keeps your dreams from staying abstract and brings them into the concrete. It helps you create an actionable plan for actually getting your goals off the ground. So this is where you're going to see like the strict former teacher, former dean part of me popping out and being like, did you ship this week? Did you develop this week? Did you code this week? Did you write this week? Show me. And then the silence happens because I'm waiting for you to show me. But instead of talking to you directly, I'm kind of like talking to myself. But also, as a side note, if you guys want to engage in like a collective Scrum Solo with me on a weekly basis, like let me know in the comments and then we can set up like a little live, right? Where we like check in, we do like a Scrum Solo check-in. Like, did you get your goals together this week? Did you actually do something towards your goals this week? Did you make progress? And then we'll like talk and motivate and, you know, have a little Scrum Solo accountability group. That's an idea. So I'm putting that out there because for me, in order to keep me honest with myself and with you guys, I'm going to be doing a weekly scrum on this podcast, right? And so that weekly scrum for me is called Scrum Solo, and it's helping me to bridge my goals, which are super huge. I'm not going to lie, because I also have a full-time job and a child, right? They're huge goals, but it's going to bridge those goals with actual outcomes, and the bridge is going to be action and accountability, all right? So having said that, I'm going to pop up my very first Scrum Solo session for you guys right now. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, for those of you who are listening on the audio, I am presenting on my screen right now my Scrum Solo slides. So I'm going to read through them for your listening pleasure. But if you want to check out what these slides actually look like, just check out the show notes and you'll be able to see them. Folks, this is my roundup, my scrum for the past week, basically the first week of the new year. So the first part of Scrum Solo is the review, right? What did we actually accomplish? And I'm actually going to start with a yearly overview, okay? So 2025 was fire. I did a lot of amazing things. The Sodom series unlocked, built characters, built worlds, literally built not just a 20-book franchise, meaning 17 main novels and 3 prequels, but I also developed 2 spinoffs called After Asylum and also The Sons of Sodom. All right. We'll obviously talk about that in the future, but definitely put my foot in the Sodom series this year. I also shipped an app, 2 versions of it, and 5 custom GPTs, right? I was just getting my feet wet, but I still shipped. Stuff is still out there. Then I also, of course, started a tech company, founded a tech company called God Tier Storytelling. And I talked to you guys about that a few minutes ago. And then, of course, my full stack engineer identity has been claimed, okay, and the swag is drippy. So I had a fantastic 2025 in terms of my creative and technological output, and I'm really pleased. The next step in a scrum is doing a retrospective, right? You might be pleased with all of your results, but you have to also analyze what went well and what didn't go well. So for me, in my retro, what slapped was my consistency, because I was at this every single day, having big ideas, but then pairing them with actual action plans, all right? So big ideas, action, and then consistency, that is the key to really getting your stuff done and your goals achieved. What crashed? Listening to other people. And I'm not just talking about friends and family. I'm talking about also in certain professional circles, in certain, you know, career circles. You can't listen to people who are not invested in your direction or in your dream, okay? I think you should listen to other folks when they're trying to elevate you to get yourself where you want to go. But you have to have discernment in order to know whose advice to take and whose advice not to take. So there are certain people that I listened to. I didn't act on their advice, but I listened to them and I was like, this listening stuff is not for me, at least not with you. So listen to folks who are going to help you along your journey and who you know are invested in your success. All right. Next part of the scrum is your plan. So now that you reviewed your successes and what went well and what got shipped, and then you did a retrospective on what went very well in terms of your approach and then what crashed, now you have enough information to create a plan going forward. So my plans for this year, as I said to you before, publish Sodom Book 1. I'm also going to add in there, publish the 4th book in the books of Ezekiel, which is called Fraternity. The next plan, overarchingly for 2026, is to ship my first Roblox game, that mermaid game I was telling you about. The next plan is to ship new app versions of the God Tier Storytelling Writing Studio. And then, of course, become a full stack badass. All right? And we talked about that already. So now we have our plan. What's next? Okay. The next part of a scrum is the actual scrum. The scrum lays out the constraints and the solutions. So you're trying to figure out what held you back or what will hold you back and a solution to attack that so that you're not scrambling in the moment. So for 2025, my two biggest constraints were time, because obviously I have a lot going on, full-time job, now tech startup. I'm a mother, a single mother at that. And then like all these other things that go into your day, aside from working full-time, like adulting, errands, and stuff like that. And then also drama. There was a lot of drama, and I'm happy to say that I would say 99% of that drama had nothing to do with me, but unfortunately, there were folks around me who were mired in it. And, you know, we'll go into how how to protect your energy, because I had to learn a lot about how to protect my energy while also being compassionate and empathetic, right? But a lot of folks' drama, a lot of inner circle drama that really kind of put a sour taste on my productivity at times. So those were some very real constraints that I faced, and I know that you're going to face those as well. Well, I hope that you don't, but you probably will. Solutions that I came up with to mitigate those constraints. Schedules, all right? There, nothing beats a good schedule. Like, figure out what your schedule is for your job or whatever your responsibilities are, and schedule your actual development and creative time in that so that it's not optional, it's just a part of your day. Having a system, we'll talk more about that in the future. Again, consistency and the block button. We're gonna have a whole episode about how the block button is a literal productivity tool. And for those of y'all who don't like it or get triggered by the block button, like, just stay mad and be mad, because we're gonna talk about it, because I highly, highly encourage and support the block button feature. Whoever made that feature, I hope you're a millionaire, and I hope that your pillow is warm or cold, whatever you prefer, every single night, okay? And then finally, after we've done the review, retro, plans, and scrum, now it's time to sprint, which means you get out and do what it do. You actually do the work to make sure that you can meet your goals for the upcoming week. I gave you yearly goals this time around. So 2026 is locked and loaded. We're about to go and get it right now. But I also want to make it clear that when you do sprints, they should be digestible, accessible, and basically edible, right? So set down your sprint for the next week or next 2 weeks. Basically, your goal should be a weekly goal or like a bi-weekly goal. And try to achieve those goals within that time box, right? So my time box for you guys and for myself is next week, where I'm going to present to you what the progress is that I made on these plans, right, for my Scrum Solo. And we're going to hold me accountable. So I hope you guys are ready to do that. Either way, team, this has been great. I love this podcast. I love the potential of this new year. I hope that you guys are also super excited. And I cannot wait to see you guys on the other side of your goals as we pursue storytelling, engineering, and the merging of the two together in 2026. So yeah, team, I am off to the races with my coffee and my plushy support animal. In the meantime, I am wishing you all Sable and Stardust as we surf the singularity together. Surf, not serve, because some people were getting confused about that. Surf, S-U-R-F, okay? We are surfing the singularity. This is Kobe R. Rice, logging off for now. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.